Hey guys, this is Nancy Perez, your co-host. This is Life Cope LLC. We're a self-help podcast out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. I am back today again with another episode of Women Who Inspire. And today I have the incredible Emma Tang from intersectional.abc. Hi, Emma. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
That's awesome. So I want the listeners to hear about you. So I met Emma through the Women's March. She was a part of the organizing committee, and I was just so blown away by her. And I was like, she has to be on the show. People have to listen and hear her story. So Emma, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, so I'm 17. I'm still currently in high school, but I do take classes at the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs.
Nice.
I train as a figure skater, and I train down at the Broadmoor World Arena.
That is really impressive. So I actually didn't know that about you. So can you tell me a little bit about your, you know, skating life, or I don't know what to call it. Yeah, tell me a little bit about that.
So I train every day from 6 to 12 in the morning,
then
I use my afternoons for activism and schoolwork.
Wow. So you're doing so many things at 17. So tell me a little bit about some of the activism that you're involved with currently.
So currently I run my Instagram account called intersectional.abc, and I'm trying to do more real life work as I plan to run for president in 2040.
Yes. So Emma actually did, she closed us out at the after party at the Women's March, and she told us about how she's running for president, and the whole room, the whole church went crazy, and we were all so excited, and we are all ready to support you. We're all ready to vote for you. But tell me, how did this dream come about? When did you first say, I want to be president, and this is what I'm going to do right now to accomplish that?
I think it's always been on my mind to have a position of power to help other people. I think president is the highest position of power, and I think it's the most I could do to help everyone.
I love it. So, intersectional.abc. So, what does ABC stand for?
ABC is American Born Chinese, and that's who I am.
I love it. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So, my parents escaped the Cultural Revolution, the war in China, and they fled to Taiwan, and from there immigrated to the United States. And so I'm technically Taiwanese, but ethnically Chinese.
Wow. So you're first generation?
Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. Do you have other siblings?
Yes, I have two little brothers.
Wow, you're setting such an amazing example already, just at 17. So you were saying that you do high school online. So how does that work if there's any young listeners out there that are like, high school online, what is that?
So basically, you get the curriculum and you just teach it yourself, and you go to the AP tests fully self-prepared.
Wow. So is there like tutoring that comes with that, or that's like you have to seek that out yourself?
You have to take control of your education. So you definitely, if you have to see a tutor, you have to set that up yourself.
Wow. So is it like high school, but kind of like college?
Yes.
Like self everything, like you're just paying for the curriculum and you're doing it all. You're doing all of the work.
And the teachers are very inaccessible, so it's very self-taught.
Wow. So at 17, it seems like you have a lot on your plate. There's a lot going on. You're very involved in the community, and as you say, you're trying to find more ways to be involved. Her Instagram has 35,000 followers, so you know she's doing the thing already. She's doing it online, and now you're just transforming it within your community and becoming active within your community, which is always the goal. I always tell people, you know, behind the computer is very important because that's how you get the word out. And what are we on? We're on our phones 24/7. So what easier way to get two people than our phone? But there's a lot of work to be done also, you know, within the community to change the immediate place that we live at. But how do you stay sane? How do you keep it all together? How do you take care of the self and all of this that you're doing?
I think that's definitely one of my biggest challenges. I always forget to sleep. I forget to eat.
Oh my goodness.
I guess just having to remember to take care of yourself is very important. And that's definitely something that I struggle with, especially when I commit to something, I commit 100%.
And I can understand that.
Yeah.
I can understand that. I think sometimes a lot of us put a lot on our plate, you know?
Yeah.
And It's hard sometimes because you want to do it all, right? You want to take care of everyone. You want to make sure that you're the top student or the top employee and that you're also like thriving and whatever it is that, you know, your life goal is. For me, podcasting, you know, but I also have a daytime job and I also have community activism that I do and poetry and all this. And sometimes it gets the best of us. So trust me, whether you're 17 or 29 like me, it's a work in progress. 24/7, you're constantly having to think of, what am I going to do next? How am I going to do it? And I think just taking time to say, you know what, today I'm turning off my phone. I know it sounds scary. Or I'm going to write for 2 hours, or I'm going to, you know, go on a hike and put, you know, and put my phone on airplane mode. I think there's so many things that we can do as individuals that can be helpful. And, you know, I definitely hope that you will accomplish everything that's on your plate, but don't forget about you, you know? And for those of you that are listening, you know, I'm always preaching of taking care of yourself. You cannot take care of anyone unless you take care of you first. And, you know, I know that's easier said than done, but it is achievable and it is doable if you're at the forefront of your mind. You're like, I gotta take care of me first, you know? But Emma, that is so incredible. So tell me, so when did you relocate to Colorado Springs exactly?
I relocated about a year and a half ago.
Okay, and what exactly brought you out here? And from where?
So I moved from Park City, Utah, and I came out here specifically to train for figure skating.
Incredible. So Utah, huh? So how was your activism and how was your what you're doing received there?
So I actually moved to Utah from Oregon, which is a pretty diverse state, and I moved to a very conservative state, and it was very difficult, to not be seen as a zoo animal, and I think I got into activism because of the racism that I faced at school.
Really? Yeah. So what kind of things did the kids say, or what kind of things were you dealing with?
Just like the first day of school, I showed up and it was like they had never seen an Asian American before. And I got lots of questions about dogs and cats and just, you know, the standard, where are your people from?
Right.
And wow, your English is so good. And just very stereotypical, questions.
Like you couldn't be an American just because of like your aesthetic.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that I definitely value my schoolwork didn't help with the stereotypical Asian image.
See, right now I feel like there is definitely like an Asian revolution happening, and I think that there's some films that have come out. There is definitely more Asian actors that you're seeing on TV, and my hope is that we can dismantle that idea, right? And that you can just exist as you are. And like for me, it's like when I tell people I'm Mexican, it's like, but what are you mixed with? It's like, is that not a sufficient answer? So it's a hard one. I think people mean well sometimes, but their ignorance gets the best of them, unfortunately. But that propel you into the work that you're doing now. So it all serves a purpose, even if it's a crappy purpose at first, where you're like, oh gosh, this is so painful and gut-wrenching, because we all just want to be accepted and we want to be liked for who we are, as we are, without having to change ourselves. But oftentimes society, especially in places like Utah, no offense to any of you that are listening from Utah, but the statistics, you know, the laws that get passed in certain states, like, it just amazes me how no one sees anything wrong with it because it doesn't immediately affect the predominant community there, you know, but those of us that are minorities, or those of us that are first generation, or, you know, for me, I'm an immigrant, but I'm first everything. I had to translate for my parents. I had to do all of these things. People don't understand the struggle and how fast you have to grow up as a child, you know, having immigrant parents and having to feel like you have to defend everything, and not only about your culture, but your immediate family.
Yeah, and I definitely feel that because with my Asian family, I'm not Asian enough and I'm too American, but in America, I'm not American enough. So it's this awkward balance that I have to find of being the identity of an Asian American.
I think that's a tough one for a lot of us that have assimilated to the American culture, you know? You don't want to lose your traditions, you know? You don't, like, I went vegan and my entire family is like, how are you going to survive and sustain yourself? But they're used to growing and, you know, raising their animals for food. And the concept is just beyond them. But to Americans, it's like you're never going to be that ideal definition of what it is because of how you look. Because regardless of whether there's an accent or not, right? It's like people always want to judge a book by its cover.
Yes. And I think there's something Hasan Minhaj said about the American dream tax and how our parents, as my parents for immigrants, have to pay that American dream tax, that they have to put up with all of the racism that comes with being here. But for me, I was born here, so I don't think I should have to put up with that, and I don't want to pay this American dream tax.
I love it. I love that you say that because it's like, you shouldn't have to, right? Like, you were born on this soil, so you should have as much right as anybody else. But because you come from immigrant parents, society wants to put you in like a special column or in a special box. And my goal, and everyone's goal, should be to dismantle those boxes, right? Yes. Like, I hate that I have to, okay, to file a police report in Colorado Springs, you have to give your race and your ethnicity and your, like, your citizenship. Why? I'm filing a police report. I'm not in, like, I'm, you know? And it's just things like that that are so ingrained. The other day, my neighbor made chicken enchilada casserole and she knocked on my door. And she meant well. She's a super nice lady.
Yeah.
But even little small things like that that are ingrained in people that they don't realize, like, to the rest of us, it's hurtful and painful because we're like, we're just like you, like...
Yeah, I think it's the unintended racism that hurts the most, and, like, the microaggressions and just things that people didn't mean for it to be racist, but it is.
Right, and with you, you're online, like I said, 35,000 Instagram followers. How do you deal with that? Because a lot of them, I'm sure, are there for all the right reasons, but you know how it is with the internet.
Right, yeah.
So... how do you deal with that?
I think it's definitely taught me to pick which battles, which debates, which fights, who do I specifically want to educate? Because my goal is to educate everyone as a whole, but just like trolls and people who disagree, just have to pick how much do they mean to you and how much will you lose if you don't have this discussion with them.
Right. And do you get a lot of backlash
with
the work that you do?
Yeah. I think every day, you know, I wake up to 30 direct messages, and most of them are just negative comments, and I just have to bring everything back in and just tell myself to relax and to not let it get to me on a personal level.
And I know that's tough. So thank you for the work that you're doing. I know that is very difficult. You know, I get backlash in person sometimes for some of the things that I believe in and some of the things that I stand for. And it's never easy because you're never going to please everyone, you know?
Yes.
But at the same time, if you don't share and if you don't say, hey, these are my experiences and y'all need to hear about them because they're important. I'm important. And the voice that I have is important. So... what advice would you give to others based on your experiences if they wanted to get involved in activism, if they wanted to get involved in any of the things that you're involved in? What advice do you have for people?
I think the first one is definitely to pick your fights, both in person and online, because it's very emotionally taxing to constantly try to educate every single person and argue with everyone. I think the second one is to never compromise your morals for anyone, whether that be your family or your friends. And I think the last one is to remember the privilege that you do have and to use that to help others, because everyone has some sort of privilege.
Yes. And I think about intersectionality when we talk about privilege, because some of us have more privilege over others, and we have to utilize that for good instead of for division. I think oftentimes people want to say, but no, what about me? I stand on this box. And it's like, can we all just like break those boxes down with hammers and just say we're all one, right?
Yeah.
So what, for the people out there that don't know what intersectional means, especially intersectional feminism. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So feminism is just the idea of gender equality. Mm-hmm. Intersectional feminism is bringing all of these different identities together, such as race, ethnicity, gender, sexuality, and just all of these different identities together. And I always think of it as sort of like an intersection crossing at a road where you have all of these different people who, or all of these identities, I guess, meeting up at the same intersection.
Yes, I love it. That's a beautiful way to put it, because it creates the visual, right? It creates the visual, and it's like we can all cross the roads like easier if we all can just work together.
Yes.
And take turns, you know, saying, hey, yeah, this is what's important and this is what's happening in my community. How can you, how can you, how can you ensure that I get to the end of that road and get to it in one piece without getting to, you know, a crash because we were all just not listening to each other or not understanding each other. So I love it. That's so beautiful. Emma, if you want to visit Emma online, intersectional.abc is where you can do that. Is there any other places that you're at other than Instagram that you would like people to know about?
I'm also on Twitter at it's Lil Asian Feminist. So it's like LilAzn and then feminist.
I love it. That's wonderful. So that's a way that you can keep up with Emma and what she's doing. And then I want to know about more about this. Where can I go see you skate? Or where can I go see you do this at?
I'm down at the Broadmoor World Arena at the World Arena Ice Hall, which is also the Olympic Training Center. I'm there pretty much every day from 6 to 12.
So when are Olympic tryouts?
Olympic tryouts are in 2021, so that'll be the nationals. But I actually compete for Taiwan.
Really?
Yes.
That is incredible. So how does that work? Like, you just train here and then do you have to fly out there for anything, or is just like you're a representative in within the states?
I do fly out twice a year for my nationals, and they select which competitors they send to international competitions.
Wow. So impressive. Each time we talk, I am just like even more blown away with everything that you're doing. This is incredible. Guys, again, if you want to keep up with Emma, which you want to keep up with Emma, go to intersectional.abc on Instagram and Little Asian Activist?
Little Asian Feminist.
Feminist, sorry. Yes. Little Asian Feminist on Twitter. And keep up with her. And if you're here in Colorado Springs, now you know, Broadmoor World Arena, you can check her out and see how amazing she is. I am so happy that you came in. Thank you so much. Guys, if you want to keep up with us, you can do so at podomatic.lifecope.com. If you want to keep up with me, nancyiperez.com. If you want to keep up with our socials, LifeCope LLC. I'll catch you next week. See ya.
Thank you.